different homily planned for this week, but I like to hear different priests preaching because I think that my heart still needs a lot of conversion. And so I choose one priest every Sunday and I listen to his homily and I go, okay, that's the word that you have for me. And luckily this morning I got a chance to hear Father David's homily. And in his homily, he mentioned one thing that really struck deeply in my heart about today's gospel. He said that the wheat and the weeds, when they grow together, right, the first thing that the servants that they want to do is to pull the weeds up really quickly, right? And I think you and I are almost the same, right? If we saw something wrong in our own lives, or if we saw something wrong out there, then we quickly want to change it, don't we? Right? If there's noise going on at Mass, there's always someone to quickly stand up and close the door. Or if there's, you know, some baby crying in the church, because that never happens, right? Then there's always someone to give them that stink eye, right? That says, okay, you know, right? But we always want to do things so quickly, and we're in a rush. But in God's wisdom, he says, no, let the weeds and the wheat grow together. Because if you pull them up, then you'll damage the wheat as well. It made me think, what was I missing in my reflection this week? And I think what I was missing was transformation. When was the last time that God, who extended his mercy to me and transformed my life? And so I thought for a moment, and then this memory came right to the forefront. And the Spirit of God is always generous with me. And so it reminded me of a time when I was really young, about third, fourth grade. And in third and fourth grade, you know, we're playing on the playground, and the big thing to play back then, right, was sock ball, right? So we'd play sock ball with this really red, huge red ball, and some kid would sock it and try to fly it all across the schoolyard. Of course, I was in the outfield, right, and I'm trying to catch this ball, and then guess what happens? Smack. I run into a girl, right? And this girl wasn't just walking around, you know, at that exact same time, as luck would have it, that this Scholastic company had this book fair, right? Now, if you and I can remember way back when, I don't remember ever buying a book, but I remember like buying posters and pencils and all these knickknacks and erasers and things like that, right? I don't remember buying a book, but those are the things that stick out. And so this girl bought a poster, and I forgot what it was. I think it was like a unicorn or something. So she was pulling it out to show her friends, and then I run into her, right? Tearing this thing in half into shreds. And here's this little girl crying her eyes out, going, "My poster!" And again, as my luck would have it, who was standing right there to witness it all? But the infamous yard duty lady, right? And so she sees this whole thing happen, right? And so she takes me by the arm, and she escorts the little girl and says, "You're going to the principal, young man." So I'm freaking out, right? I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen to me, you know? You know, because when you go to the principal's office, it can't be anything good, right? And so I'm freaking out as a little kid, and she sits us down on this bench that's right outside of the principal's office. And I could hear her recounting this horrific tale, right? She's like yelling. You could hear the keys jangling in her hand going, this little girl needs justice. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen to me, right? And so it's my turn to sit before the principal. And Sister Pat was this beautiful principal. And, you know, I could tell, you know, what is she going to do, right? She has this crying little girl. She has a yard duty lady who's just wagging her finger going, well, come on, hello, exact your mercy, you know, or your revenge, right, on this poor little kid. And so she says, here's what we can do. Tomorrow, why don't you bring the $4.25 to replace the poster? And so I went home that afternoon shaking to tell my mom, number one, I got in trouble. Number two, I got in trouble with the principal. Number three, I have to pay back this girl for $4.25, right? Now, 4 months before that, right, my father had died from lung cancer. And he was the main breadwinner in our family. And so we moved from this home that I thought was mine to this really, really small, dirty apartment in San Pedro on the other side of Gaffey. For all those that are from San Pedro, I'm sorry, really. It's just this, you know, the whole city's beautiful. It's just this one side that's really kind of bad, right? And so there my sister and I lived with my mom. Right? And so when I went home that evening and I told my mom and I asked her, I said, "Mom, here's what happened. Can I get $4.25? The look in her eye, I think, changed my life. For the very first time, I knew that my world wasn't all this world of opportunity. It wasn't great, right? I knew that everything was very limited, and I can tell by the look in her eyes that she did not have even $4.25 to spare. If you're ever a mother, you know that pain in your heart that when your kids want something, and it's for something that maybe that they didn't do, and you can't give it to them, that pain in your heart, right? I felt that as a little boy, right? And so the very next day, I knew she didn't have it. So I went back to school, and I sat right on that bench waiting for judgment to come. And how embarrassing it would have been, right? And how to try to explain to the principal, "Look, I don't even have $4.25. How many of you have that right now? You know, we spend it so wantonly, don't we? Like Starbucks coffee costs that with tax, right? I mean, it just comes out, right? And then back then, the principal always spoke with the pastor about these things. And so the pastor came and he grabbed my hand and he said, "Don't worry, everything's going to be okay." And in his hand, he slipped me $5. That is the mercy of God. I'm sure that if that yard duty lady knew what my situation was, I'm sure she didn't feel all that sense of self-righteousness and saying, "This girl needs justice." Because whose heart wouldn't change if they knew, or if they saw, or if they were aware? Back then, when I was that little boy, in the eyes of the yard duty lady, and certainly the eyes of that girl, right, I was a weed that needed to be plucked out, right? But yet it was the mercy of God that said, "Okay, let's not pluck this seed out too quickly. Let's give him a chance to grow, to learn and to receive the love of God, to try to change his life." Because the love of God is indeed transforming. The Spirit of God transforms if we only allow it. When I was a little kid, if you were to ask any of my teachers, they would say that you are the least person to ever be a priest, right? And in God's humor, in my very first assignment at St. Lawrence Martyr, right? At my very first Mass at St. Lawrence, guess who was singing in the choir? Not the yard duty lady. God, you know, no. But my fourth grade teacher, right? It's amazing healing moment, huh? And so as soon as I saw her, the first thing out of my mouth was, "I'm so sorry." "I'm so sorry." Because we made her cry almost every day because of stupid things that we did, you know? But imagine what God can do. Imagine what God can do with this piece of wheat. And I know that sometimes when we look at our lives, we see wheat and weeds, don't we? We see grace, and then we see those things that we might be ashamed about. And we go, "Okay, God, I want to change my life. So what do I need to do?" And maybe in our attempt, we try to do it all on our own power to say, "Okay, well, I need to change my life, and I'm going to do it on my own." So we gather and we pluck up all these weeds, and we look at what's left, and there's nothing almost. Or maybe the view of our plot of land isn't as beautiful because it looks so sparse. True, we have wheat. But what's going to take the place of those missing spots where the weeds once were? That is the work of God. To sow what was once lost. Through his love and his mercy, he transforms. If we only had the courage and sometimes the humility just to lay our plots before our God and say, "God, transform this." Every Sunday, we experience this transformation, this miracle right before our eyes. And we don't even know it. We don't realize. God is indeed working. Every Sunday, the Spirit of God transforms those simple gifts of bread and wine into his body and blood. When you look at it, it's really not that much, is it? You know, if I were to serve this to you at a meal and say, come over for dinner, guess what I got? You're like, okay, I'm not ever coming back here again, right? And for those of you that really love wine, I know it's a penance for you to sip some of this stuff, right? But in those simple gifts, in that simplicity, God transforms them into his precious body and his blood. Imagine what he can do with you and I. Imagine what God can do in your life if you allow him to transform it. Allow the Spirit of God to look at that plot of land. And in his love and mercy, may we be saved. And on that day when he calls us home, that he can take out all the weeds in our life. Those moments of shame. Those moments in our past where we're like, okay, you know, I really don't want that, right? We offer to our God. But what happens when we're so busy looking at other people's weeds? It happens so quickly to us. Even on our way to Mass, right? I know traffic in Santa Monica is crazy, right? You talk about traffic with anybody else in the United States, they look at you like you're insane, but it's true. I mean, it's so big that we have to talk about it, right? I mean, even though I was walking this afternoon, just so many honks and horns and everyone's so busy. I saw two people in wheelchairs almost get run over and I thought, where's the mercy of God? Right? Or even when we're coming into Mass, right, and the seats and the pews are filling up, we walk in and we start deciding then, I want to sit with the wheat, right? So we scan and we're like, okay, dude, I don't want to sit next to this guy because he wears way too much cologne, right? Or I don't want to sit next to this person or that person or whatnot, right? And we make these judgments and then we finally find a comfortable spot or we find our pew and we realize, oh man, someone took my seat, right? And then comes the circling of where do I go, right? And then, but when do we stop? Stop for just a moment. And to have that moment just to reflect on our own lives and to say, God, transform me, transform this. I have the privilege of being a priest, not because of my own merits. Trust me, I've made plenty of mistakes. Talk to my mom, talk to my friends. They can't even believe I got ordained, right? Sometimes I can't even believe it. Right? But that is the power of God. That is the power of God, right? To transform what was once lost. Right? When all that we see are weeds, to say that, God, can you do something with this? Right? Allow that transformation and the mercy of God to take over your life. Right? So on this Sunday, don't get too down on yourselves if all that you see are weeds and you don't see enough wheat. The way that I see that, just more opportunities for God's grace to work. So that when you look back 20 or 30 years, and you say, my God, how different am I? Right? Incidentally, I reconnected with that girl on Facebook, and we're actually okay friends, so, you know. I thought about sending her $4.25 going, hey, it's never too late, right? But such is the mercy of God. So my friends, on this day, as I stand here before you, I ask humbly for your prayers, because I surely need them. Because my heart still needs a lot of transformation, and so does my life. And I'll try to share with you as much as I can and what I've learned from looking at my own weeds and seeing also in the gentle ways that God is transforming them into wheat. But only realize that only he can do that. Just surrender. Allow the Spirit of God to take over your life. And then we can rejoice together at the altar of God. So when these gifts are brought forth for transformation, we place everything, our hurts, our pains, our disappointments, whether they be great or small, right? Maybe you're here because you're praying for somebody else. Maybe that they're sick with something, or maybe there's a situation in their life that you don't know what to do because everything seems so outside of your control. Place them in that pattern. Or in the chalice, and beg God, as I do, to transform these gifts into his body and blood through his grace, through his mercy, and through the Spirit of God.